Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
All right, so let's dig back in. If you've not been with us, we as a church have been in a season called Rethink with Hence That. I'm leaving on two months sabbatical in June. So during that time, we're definitely leaning into Rethink. Then when I come back, we'll be taking and moving forward with it. But Rethink is just a season where Matthew might think of it as a revitalization. A lot of times churches do revitalization when everything's falling apart. But there's a challenge or whatnot, we just think it's more fun to do when everything's fine. You know, the mess of all that. And so we're just putting everything on the altar. Whatever God wants us to keep, keep. Whatever wants us to change, change. Whatever he wants to treat, treat. Add it, whatever the case would be. And then, and how we're doing that as a church, there's multiple ways, but the main way that I've asked you guys is we've been having after church, potluck, workshop, brainstorming, meetings on 13 major areas of our church ministry until the end of May. And so today, if you remember, don't forget, we're still having it on the second floor here. That's on how to care for each other within the church and within the community. So we'll be presenting the things that are already in place, having brainstorming together, having people talk together. And if you are, again, if you're care team, cover team, deacons, just care about people, we'd love you to be there. But honestly, the big chunk of what we're looking at is that you are a big part of that care team, no matter what title you have or you don't have. And so we'd love to have as many people as possible, not everybody, to be able to dig into and dream together and brainstorm together. On a personal level, we've been going through Nehemiah, inviting people to rethink in their own lives, put everything on the altar. God, what do you want? What do you want to get rid of? What do you want to tweak? And the very first week, we only have 2 weeks left, believe it or not, after this. But the kind of identifying areas of our lives are struggling, and then we keep running into the ditch or whatever the case would be, and then putting that, adult, kind of using that and working that and fostering that as we go through the story of Nehemiah. And the first story, if you've not been with us at all and you have an area of life you're not struggling with, I would really invite you to go back and watch Nehemiah 1 through, I think, chapter 5. It's 4 sessions. That really is the foundation of how he identified the issue, how he addressed the issue personally, how he built a support group, how he dealt with opposition both inside and outside of the situation. Now we're kind of going through some different things in Nehemiah and laying the launch pads into different areas that go on top of that foundation. So make sure you get that foundation. And that's your Facebook, YouTube, church page, website, Right Now Media, all that stuff. So make sure you get that. But we're going to dig into the next one. And where we're at right now, I was thinking about this week, it actually kind of feels like we have a mini series in the middle of the series that's almost called like Rehit in my head. Like 2 weeks ago, if you remember, we dug into truth and love and how that plays out. Again, we good believers, it takes 100% truth and love and how that works. But then we took it to like another level of really the complexity of how we people in their sin and also our sin. We again digging into the what we call adultery, digging into a little bit more of a personal, heavy topic like emotion and how that plays through and how it's needed in those occasions, but of course like others. So we kind of took the 100% love, 100% truth to another level. And a little bit deeper. Last week we got into aspect of conviction leading to freedom. Again, conviction's not a bad thing if you let it be what's supposed to be, which is an invitation to confession, which leads to grace and freedom. Too many people lean into conviction and then they take it to guilt and they stop there and they look guilty their entire life and they're just not physically, spiritually, mentally prepared or created for that. So we went into that again and then took it deeper by looking at other aspects within that chain. So if you've been struggling with guilt, I invite you to go into that one. But this one's going to be another one where we're hitting something we talk about in the Christian community. And it's a little bit of a deeper level, looking at some maybe some different aspects of that. Does that sound good? Everybody in? Okay, before I start babbling, look at those little charts you got. Yeah, being handed out no bubble pins this week, but we did get the little child out. And you got that, I'm doing this for the benefit of people watching online. So your toe looks kind of like that, right? And if you're on this side, it's okay, because you only got the sheet in front of it. There's as much as you want on it. So, what I want you to do is on the first pass, just the top one, don't worry about the second, third, or fourth one, is gauge yourself. Nobody else go look at this, you're not going to serve the same, nothing like that. Where are you when it comes to how well you're doing with Christian community, especially defined when it comes to local body church? Okay, so just write that like this here, meaning like this is like nope. Like I'm not really into church, I stumbled in here by accident, or just came up on my feet or whatever. Not really into the Christian community thing. Might even say something, this might sound offensive, but something as, I'm not fully educated to say I have to be a Christian, not go to church type of thing. I'm fine, I just go to application, you know, that kind of thing. This is, and I'm going to title this, but I'm not going to define it yet. I'm going to define that again in a little bit. This is faithful member. And we'll describe what that means in a little bit. This middle section, okay, so make a little T, the title, two fat O's on it, is let's gauge that as, okay, I go to church like one, two times a month, and I've got a couple of Christian friends. So real quick, using that as your gauge, where would you put your X as far as where you think you're going right now? Go. Okay. It's a moment, it's a moment, it's a plan, it's an excitement. Andrew, you're not doing it. Did you?
Yes.
Then you put your phone on the top of it. Okay, so you guys got that? Let's get into the scripture. What, did you do it for anything on the sheet? Okay, so if I were to get this chart, let's say I look at it and think, okay, I'm going to church like once a month, I say, I don't really hang out with other Christians, I'm not going to Bible study, I'm not having people to go get coffee, that kind of stuff. Then I'm probably going to be about here, or maybe I'll be here, or if I'm doing better, maybe I'll be here. You just put the next where you think you're doing, how you're doing on Christian community. And you're just doing on this top one here where it says first pass. Yep. Everybody else good? Anybody else have? Anybody need a sheet? Anybody need a pen? That kind of stuff. Maybe. Sweet. Okay, Acts chapter 2. We're going to do it backwards this week. So and then let Nehemiah take us deeper. So we're going to do it a little bit backwards this week. But for, we're going to Acts chapter 2. This is, if you've been around the church hall at all, you're probably familiar with this. It's one of the key three verses that we had in mind and had in vision when we started the Shepherd's Fellowship, and we come back to it often. If you're not familiar with this verse, basically it's just the definition of what the early church was. This is after Jesus' time on this earth, after his death, after his resurrection. He's been around for 40 days. He shows up in front of over 500 people. And then he goes to descend it, and now they even bless you. And that's what across the room. I think everybody's thinking at the same time. They've been opened up a room. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells within them, which is new and fresh, not the Holy Spirit, but the dwelling within. And they go out and they go crazy, and then they share the gospel. And the first day, 2,000 people come to the Lord, it's just a miraculous thing. This is the definition, as well as the section in Acts 4, that shows what the early church looked like. One of my favorite times to bring this up is not with you guys, but when I'm talking to somebody who's been hooked by church before, hooked by Christians before, and said that they have anything to do with God because of that. I love reading with them, and I've never had a time when someone says this, I'd be in for this. This is different than what I was raised with. So this is kind of the pure beginning of it. So starting out verse 42, Acts chapter 2, says they devoted themselves to the new believers. They devoted themselves to the teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as anyone had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the number day by day those who are being saved. Again, that sounds good. It sounds good to all of us because this is what we're created for. And this is what the dream is. This is what the heart of the vision is. And again, I know I can go on forever and ever and ever about this through the whole Monty Church, but I'll just boil it down since we've been through so much to the five key principles, characteristics of the church that we see here, over and over again. So I'm going to use the board more today since we're not on the TVs. But if you're a note taker, you'll write these down. We've got worship first, ministry second, evangelism third, not that there are any particular order, just as I might know, fellowship, and then discipleship. Yeah, there's goodness and stuff on the table. These are the five core principles of the church. I remember there was one time I had a buddy that had like a group, a ministry group, and he's an evangelist, has an evangelistic heart. I've never seen that boy speak without people crying and people coming to the Lord. I mean, he's just evangelistic, and his group was very evangelistic. And so as his group was kind of growing a little bit more, and also, I should say, he's not a fan of the church. He just likes to do what he likes to do. And he said, well, maybe I'll turn this into a church. And like, we'll become a church. And I was like, you don't want to do that because it would kill you. It would kill your vision. Because if you're not doing this, you're not being a local body church. And so you're excelling here. But what do you think about it? Well, I could care less about worship. Right. So just be a ministry. Just don't claim to be a local body church if you're not doing the principles of the church. And so we see this within Acts chapter 2. Through their worship, they're praising God, they're committed to God, God is focused within this ministry. This is the church ministry, but it's also, I mean it from both my personal ministry standpoint, but your personal ministry, who are you created to be in Christ, and how does that work within the local body so that we are all being the little pinkies that we are, or the nose that we are, or the ear that we are, how are we doing our part? How are we giving each other training and encouragement, supporting each other on into our personal ministry? How do we do that together in such a way that we can do different things than what I can do by myself throughout the week? How does this work? How do I have a safe place that I can dabble in what God's called me to be? And if I fail, it's a safe place to fail. You know, so we see the ministry happening within that. We see them selling their possessions. Nobody has a need. That's just an incredible statement. Nobody has a need, which means they were taking and expressing their needs, and they're taking care of each other's needs. Does it make sense? But some of us, probably it's just expressing constantly. We just want to take care of this. But a lot of us who struggle don't want to admit that we're struggling, and we cannot help each other if we're not all open both ways, and taking care of each other. So you see ministry happening here. Evangelism, 3,000 people the first day. People are being added daily to their number. One of the incredible statements within there is that they have favor with everybody. Do you see that line? They have favor with everybody. That's not favor with everybody who is a Christ follower. That's with everybody. So what it's saying is that if they're in town, and people thought, man, there's all those crazy Christian people, but you know what? I hire him because I can trust him. You know, they just have favor amongst Greece, so that's part of the evangelism. They have a non-hypocritical, not perfect, but non-hypocritical testimony that people are looking at. You see fellowship, they're committed to being together every day, both in the synagogue and in each other's homes. I love bringing that part up because I think this is where sometimes we lose some focus on talking to folks that are like, man, no one churches met in each other's homes, and I don't go to church, that's just four walls, those type of things. No, the synagogue was four walls, and it meant formal. That's a formal relational standpoint, right? They met in the synagogues and each other's homes, so they also met relationally. They did both. The only time that they only went to homes is when they were fearful for their lives. And they thought they missed the formal. We need both. If you just go to Sunday morning, that's it, you're missing out on a big chunk of Christianity in the world upon the church. If you're just going out and playing golf with a couple of Christian buddies and saying that's church because we're two of all gathered, it doesn't say that's church because God's with you. That doesn't mean it's church. The New Testament is very clear about what it's called to when it comes to Christian community, the word of God. Then discipleship. We see they're devoted to the apostles' teachings. We see them devoted into these things, and that they're growing to be more and more like Jesus as they go. Everybody on the same page still? Okay. So that's what we've read so far. Now, let me do what I promised right now. We're just putting the things out on the table. Make sure we're all on the same page. Here, I want to do what I promised you I was going to do here when it comes to faithful members. I had lunch with a young guy this week, and he was asking me, what does the Shepherd's Fellowship think about when it comes to membership? So let me put that on the table so we have that too, because that's kind of unfair right now, for you guys if you're not familiar. So, as I told you guys before, I was raised in the church environment where membership meant you get a key and you get a book. That's more of a social club type thing. So I was pretty soured on church membership for a long time, just because of the way it was presented to me. And you say, well, God, you got to get it before you're pastor. No, about the first 10 years of our life, we've come up with 23 years, probably the first 10 years we didn't have membership as a church. So anyway, but as I got into scripture, and Paul talking about being a member of the body, I was like, okay, now there's something. Because what I was raised with, I never saw in scripture. But now I've got something. We're all joined together. And my weaknesses are covered by your strength, and your weaknesses are covered by my strengths, and how those things work. And so we do have membership. It's not a highly forced thing. It's a area where I believe we should be striving forward. But there's also something really between you and the Lord, because what our commitment is to you is set from the first time you walk in the door. The membership aspect is when you get to a point where you say, this is my church home, and now biblically, what does that mean? If I want to say, I'm here. So I wonder if you have that, if you have brochures like at the church, like, again, if we're all here, at the church today, the speaker, you can just go out to the foyer and grab one. I don't have one with me. Anyways, but I do have one if somebody really wants it. But I did want to go through and just talk to you about what that looks like so that you know what I'm talking about when I get here with the faithful membership. Because we want to define that biblically, how by our tradition, but biblically, what our commitment is to you and what the commitment back be if you decide that you want to be a member of the church and say, I'm in. That's basically all it is. I'm in. You get an actual privilege. Would you ask that anybody wants to be a member of the Shepherd's Fellowship is that you have accepted Jesus as you've been forgiven in your life by acknowledging with your mouth He's the Son of God, believe in your heart, die goes again, your God, I'm not, I'm following you. It's pretty much impossible to plug into the family of God if you haven't got the daddy who adopts you. So accepting Jesus, being forgiven in your life, being baptized, we do ask that. Again, different people have different opinions on whether that's necessary for salvation or whether it's not being close to be faithful to Jesus. Either way, let's be faithful to Jesus, and we ask for baptism as well. Then from there, that's when we start breaking into some of the things. So if you are looking about this, what does it mean to be a faithful member? To participate, attend our regular Sunday morning services on a committed basis, and actively participate in Christian community. So basically, what that boils down to, the easiest way, is that I'm committed to Sunday mornings. That's not a once-a-month thing. I'm committed to it because this, especially with our church, we do a lot of series, and so we're growing together in very specific ways. I'm seeing people, but also picking some other way to build on your community, whether it be Wednesday nights, Java 48 Plus Club, there's a lot of different options there. It doesn't have to be something we put together, the women's group, the men's group. You could be like, you know what, like, Angie Tender does a great job. Once a month, she invites like five or six women from the church just to get there. There's another way of plugging in the community. Because quite frankly, if you show up here on Sunday mornings, you get it right from the start, and then as soon as they say God is good, and you say, well, time to go back to your car, this really isn't set up for community. This is me babbling and the band singing, and you get to see a few people, but it's not really deepening relationships if you're not spending time with each other. The formal worship and also the relational worship on even within that. Other things, I have these on the screen for you, but I didn't have that purpose. Protect unity, if you're taking notes. We do ask that you make a commitment to protect unity, so love, bringing love aspect into things, not gossiping, not tearing things down, following leadership, if leadership is following God. If not, make sure you hold us to that, we're accountable to that. the Father God, that we're unified, that we're following God together, that we serve the ministry, that you develop a servant's heart, that you use your gifts and talents as part of that collective together, and that we lean into Christian service. Supporting the ministry, I know I'm going fast, but I'll just kind of get the whole point, and then the rest is just so your heart gets in there. Supporting the ministry, that you're living godly, again, that we have favor, that those that are outside the church, it doesn't mean you have to be perfect when you mess up, just go and apologize, tell people I messed up, that's part of your testimony, mm-hmm. and building that integrity, but we're living godly life, not running around town with a bunch of hypocrites, but all of them, because that's what fellowship is, you're going to the bar and getting fist fights. I'm not going to say a name on that, but, you know, Sharia. And also supporting the ministry is giving of the time, giving of resources, and giving of finances to support the ministry that is going on. And you might say, oh, see, Tom just said that, didn't he? He's just looking for more money. Finances is part of our venture together, and if that annoys you, I guarantee you'd be really annoyed by what we meet in Nehemiah today. Hey, Holly! And then you grow in Christ, and then growing in Christ, walking with God, being in the Word, being in prayer as a faithful member, leaning into and participating in church discipleship is a part of that as well. So that gives you a general overview when I'm talking about faithful member. You're attending, you're supporting, you're being part of this from a much bigger standpoint. So do me a favor, grab the sheets. It's time for the second pass.
Second pass.
With everything you just put on the table, as far as Acts 2, of what it looks like to be a faithful member from a biblical standpoint. Where's your Acts now? Is it in the exact same place? Do you think, oh man, I'm doing better than I thought I was doing? Move the Acts up. Maybe not so much. Move the Acts back. But be real careful and justify it. But that's where we're at right now. Second pass, that'd be good?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be good. That'd be good. All self-evaluation. I don't want to beat me up here. Not yet. Give me time. Okay. Nehemiah, that's from there. So this is where we want to take it a little bit deeper. We're going to add some things to it. My old man back is going today. Kevin's not here, so we can use two pages. Mike's got, Scott's not even in here. Okay. Don, are you the judge, you or Matthew then? Matthew, can I use two pieces of paper? Okay, thank you, sir. Here's to watch your phone line at you. Give us some. Okay. Nehemiah 10 is going to take us into some different aspects of what we have. Now, 1 through 27, I'm not going to read today. Just like some of the other sections, it's kind of outside the scope of what we're looking at. Again, please go home and read this. To go dig into it, it's a listing of the people that are sealed into the covenant. There's some great comparisons here to the Ezra list that we talked about before, and also when it comes to the list that we just did for the census. There's a lot of good stuff in it, so please make sure you read it. And just as a quick thought, I've done that to you 3 times so far, and I'm just kind of curious how many people have actually gone home and read the parts of the Ezra list. Not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I did see one person take their head, and they're like, meh. Okay. So, by encouraging, there's good stuff in it. It's just outside of most groups today. So we're going to read starting at verse 28. As we look at how the community and the Nehemiah is leading the community after the walls have been built. So, start out with verse 28. It says, the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, and all who had knowledge and understanding, joined with their brothers, their nobles, and entered into a course, and proof to walk in God's law that was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe all and do all the commandments of the Lord our Lord, and his rules and statutes. We will not give our daughters to the peoples of the land, that would take their daughters for our sons. And if the peoples of the land bring in goods or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on the holy day. And we will forego the crops of the seventh year and the extraction of every debt. We will also take on ourselves obligations to give yearly a third part of the shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the showbread, the regular grain offerings, the regular burnt offerings, the Sabbaths, the new moons, the appointed list, the feasts, and necklace, the holy things, and the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and for all the work of the house of our God. We, the priests, the Levites, and the people have likewise cast lots for the wood offering, to bring into the house of our God, according to our fathers' houses, at times appointed year by year, to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as is written in the law. We obligate ourselves to bring the first fruits of our ground, and the first fruits of all fruit of the tree, year by year, to the house of the Lord. Also to bring the house of our God, to the house of God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God, the firstborn of the sons and our cattle, as is written by the law, and the firstborn of our herds, and our flocks, and to bring the first of our dough and our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the wine and the oil to the priests in the chambers of the house of our God, and to bring to the Levites the tithes from our ground. For it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all of our towns where we labor, and the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive the tithes. And the Levites shall bring up the tithes to the house of our God and the chambers of the storehouse. For the people of Israel, the sons of Levi, shall bring the contribution of grain, wine, and oil to the chambers, where the vessels of the sanctuary are, as well as the priests who minister, and the gatekeepers and the singers. We will not neglect the house of our God. Okay. But I'm going to bring that one. So we see several things that we can pull out of here of their reaction and how they acted when it came to following God from an Old Testament standpoint. Again, just a New Testament standpoint, which is the church age that we're doing now. But from an Old Testament standpoint, let's pull out some of the bullet points. First off, in verse 28, and I'm going to explain this because someone can take this really badly. They had non-mixed marriages. They committed to non-mixing in marriage. This is not a race thing, as far as skin color. This is actually a verse used, if you go back 60, 70, 80 years, to make arguments incorrectly and out of context against mixed marriages when it came to race. That's not what it's talking about here. If you look at anything within the Old Testament, it talks about not intermarrying with other communities. It only had to do with their faith. We see example of biblical heroes that married outside of the Jewish community that watered down their faith because they were unevenly yoked with their spouses. This only has to do with their faith. They're worshiping other gods, idols, they're pagan, that we do not intermingle because Israel is God's chosen people in the Old Testament. So you're not going to intermingle with those that are not following God. Does that make sense? That's what this is. It's a purity of the faith issue. In today's language, like when we get into the church age events, this is still in place. This is still in place. The scripture tells us to not be unequally yoked. This is why a Christian shouldn't be dating a non-Christian. This is why a person that's on fire for the Lord should not be dating somebody who says, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but they do nothing to actually grow in their maturity. And I've seen it in family after family after family after family, where a spiritually single parent has to carry a lot more weight, or they start sliding backwards, or they just give up on church altogether because of tiring of the battle. So those types of things are placed. But this is one of the commitments that they made. Number 29, is everyone follow the commandments? That's something that they're putting God first, they're going to follow the commandments from that standpoint. So that's a pretty easy one. So you go, I'll tell you one thing that's kind of interesting. It's part of my Lent, I'll talk about this later, but I'm going to spend an extra hour a day on study through podcasts. I just find that I do much better on podcasts than trying to read. I just don't have the mind for it. But Wes Huff, if you haven't heard of Wes Huff, he kind of popped on it now for a couple of different podcasts that he's popped on. But he is basically, for lack of better terminology, the vice president of Christian apologetics, or smart guy for Canada. So he's pretty high up there when it comes to Bible teaching. And he is pretty young for it. I think this is the late 30s maybe. But he was talking about the Ten Commandments. And there's an interesting way of looking at it, that he feels that the Ten Commandments, when we were young in our faith, remember the 4 years that we talked about, like when we were year two, are like things that we don't want to do. But as we grow in our faith, that he sees them as more like 10 promises and 10 commandments. That as I grow in Christ, like at the beginning, it's like, you're not going to adopt your family, you're not going to adopt your family, you're not going to adopt your family. But then, as I grow and my heart becomes more pure, I don't want to do those things. And someone's like, "Pause, God, like, it's okay. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to lie. You're not going to put other things before me because we're doing this together." I just thought that was an interesting perspective. But, 30:31. Moses, I just wanted to get the reference if you want. Rest in God is committed to. If you really, the law still, that point has the Sabbath aspect of being on Saturdays. They don't really mention that here as much as the following the law when it comes to rest in God. That also includes the land that you get that every 7 years that they will not plant. We should probably do that today. It's 10, right? But we still do that today, but because God tells us that we need to let the land rest. So nutrients, and like I said, God knew about that a long time ago. So that's part of it, is resting in God. We see offerings. Offerings and tithes being brought into that. To specifically, according to this, to be able to care for the temple, or the ministry of the temple, and also the staff of who are involved in the temple, talks about the priests, those type of things, which is reference on that 32. And then this, it's still, I mean, obviously, so important thing. We are the provision for the church, we're provision for the people that work within the church. One of the things, just a side note, I'm not sure if you know this, you don't pay me to do ministry. According to our guidelines, you pay me so I can do ministry. We don't pay like a part-time people so for them to do work around the church, the hearts of the people. We pay them that so they don't have to get a part-time job at McDonald's to take care of the family so they can do ministry. It's just a small vacation for us. Okay, sorry, I'll pick up. Everyone wants to eat McDonald's later. You stood up? You got a public. Atonement for sins, and atonement for the sins. I'm going to get sloppier as I go. 35. These are the principle of the first fruits. What I mean by that is, again, we can debate a little if you want to on tithes and offerings and bringing 10%, that kind of stuff. The principle of first fruits goes long before the law. If you go back to Cain and Abel, you see the principle of first fruits for the first time. Abel was bringing 10% of his best stuff. Cain was bringing 10% of his leftovers. Both were the exact same voice, but one was being blessed and one wasn't because it wasn't his first fruits. He wasn't bringing God his best. And God said, "Yeah, I don't know why you're so upset that I'm blessing you. All you have to do is do what your brother's doing." So he killed his brother. Okay, 36. And this is not all, but this is kind of get you into it. First, guys and ox dedicated to the Lord. So Matthew, if you're still OT, that means your parents are brought to the Shepherd's Fellowship, I would have raised you, and you'd work for the church the rest of your life. So should we say you move in Tuesday?
Monday.
No? Monday says that. So, these all go back to these. That's what we're saying deeper. The worship, the ministry, the personal ministry, the evangelism, the reaching out, the fellowship, the report they have, the discipleship, growing in God, all of these things are represented here. So the only reason I'm going to bring out as far as going into it is this list here is for the church and all Christians. How it plays out looks differently. And it's a lot more than just what we see in Acts 2, 42 through 49. Does that make sense? So if you want to keep this in mind, by the way, the gender of the what's it called when you take the first level of each thing? Acronym, thank you. So the acronym for this, according to somebody who used to go to church, is when my excellent friend died, meaning Jesus. That's how she remembered it. But these things should be in all local body churches, and it plays out differently when it comes to the ways that gets looked. So they had worship, they had faithful offerings, ministry, they were living set apart, evangelism, they had a come and see aspect, which is very Old Testament. Old Testament is real God's chosen people. That doesn't mean he doesn't love you guys, but this is what it looks like for Paul and him, so come and see. Who the church age was supposed to go and tell. So it's a little bit different there, but that's evangelism all the time. Fellowship, they were not mixed outside of the other religions. And discipleship, they were disciples knowing all God. Okay, so good? Mm-hmm. Here's the best part. Take out your Bible open. This is the hard bit that I want to get back to. In Nehemiah 10, we're still in 9. Read. Will not. Neglect the house of the Lord. That's the key voice if you want a key voice. If you want to memorize anything out of it, we were not going to neglect the house of the Lord. You go into any gift store, definitely not be Christian, you're going to find things that you hang up on your wall and say, that's for me and my house, or so for the Lord. Right? That's it, everywhere. This is the other side of it. We will not neglect the house of the Lord. How do we neglect the house of the Lord? By these things. By not being a Christian community. Of just showing up once or twice a month and not taking involved with Christian community throughout the week. Ministry. I don't have time. You know, those type of things that we bring into the place that keeps us from being part of the house of God, the community of God, the bride of Christ. These things are in place. So, with that in mind, if that was your commitment, and that's your heart, let's do the third pass. Let's do the third one. Where do you find it in that? With all that on your table in front of you, is there any change, or is everything good? I'm sure you might be getting killed on this. Just kill it. I'll draw it down on it. I'll frame it later. But you might find some different areas that maybe I can go on this. The third pass. Some of the challenges, as I was mentioning here, that come into place, we hear often, is too busy. I'd love to be more deeper with my Christian community, but too busy. Whether that be job, or kids' events, or sports, musicals, all that kind of fun stuff. Again, I'm not saying I counsel, I've raised two kids now, so I understand that there's a very thin line between, hey, here's some bumps, and physically teaching our kids that sports or musical community is more important than Christian community. We gotta kind of watch that line, how those things play out. Just job wise, I've seen people say, man, God's giving me this new job opportunity, it's great, but I won't be able to be a Christian community anymore. So I'll be too busy. Well, I'm not sure that's really from God. You know, and a couple years later, he's running on empty. There might be some different things to look at there. So that's part of it. Again, our schedule could be just as much of an item as our checkbook. Another area is comfort zones. I'm comfortable with this much community, but I don't want to go further than that. We're not going to find that in the scripture. Community might look a little different for you than it does for me, but we're not going to find a comfort zone of community that I think we need to be able to be challenged. You might say you're not a people person. Yeah, a lot of people. We got a lot of non-people persons in a relational church. And I was thinking, well, I'll just point to you guys where anxiety corner is, because we do have an area of gathering about the anxiety corner for all anxiety people. So I can show you that when we get back. We have people that will come and cannot handle the worship music. So they sit on the front porch during the summer and listen to the worship music at a deafening level. We have people sit in my office and so they can still hear it, but they're not overly people. We have people go up into youth room, watch it live, so they can talk to people before and afterwards. All these things are acceptable. Because we are still getting community. I mean, if you just stay home and watch it on computer, you're getting the teaching, you're getting the music, but you're not getting community. Another area is pastorage. Pastorage is a big struggle for a lot of people because Christian community, they don't trust it anymore. But as I shared, this is another myself thing. If you saw on Facebook, you said a quote. I don't know who the bishop was. But if you judge who Beethoven is off of my ability to play cello, you're not going to really be judging Beethoven. And you say the same thing to faith. If you judge who God is off of my stupid attempts, you're not going to be a performance of God. So make sure you go for the fullness and the Acts 2 aspect of things. So, but I got a couple scriptures I'll throw with this. One is an encouragement. Hebrews, if you want to write it down, Hebrews 10. 24 through 25, I think this one somewhat known, we've talked about before. But the scripture tells us this: let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good books, not neglecting to meet with each other, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. I'm going to reread this one because I think for those of us who struggle in this area, we are very good at blocking this one out. Mm-hmm. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I think all of us realize the day is drawing near. It continues to draw near. But it does require some sacrifice. Personal sacrifice to be a Christian community. It does require some humility. And also requires obedience, what the scripture calls us to do. So, but the good thing is you get family. Good thing is you get family. Another I'll give to you is Romans 8, verse 15. It's just kind of an encouragement. Where Paul reminds us, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, as daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, which means Father. Again, I'm definitely blessed when it comes to adoption, but my kids have been the power of adoption. We are not adopted to the family of God to be by ourselves. We're adopted into his family. So do me a favor, you got a full chance there, don't you? For the past is this. Don't throw out the ways that you have, but this time, write down who you wish you were. If your ex has not moved at all this entire time, I just want to know if you might be struggling with some comfort zone issues. So this one is, where do you wish you were? And the person of what God's promises are, what his instruction is, and what we see as an example of the scripture. And then once you have that, there's a little bit of space there. And there's going to be really nice music right now. And there's going to be like the low lights right now. It's going to be like this really cool environment. You're not getting that now, so. But write down some action items. If this is where I am, this is where I want to be, where God wants me to be, then you might have to put you out there. Where you want to be, where God wants you to be. What's an action item? What's my next couple steps? I don't have to have this all figured out by Monday morning. But what's my next couple steps? How do I start moving forward when it comes to Christian community and the things that are in place there? So I'll give you guys a couple seconds on that.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500 or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.